Good morning.
How you going?
Good.
As I get prepared. Now, kids, are you having a good school holidays? Yes. What have you been doing? What have you been doing in school holidays? Come on. Can you hear me? I haven't gone mute, have I? Come on. What have you been doing? Surely you've done something. Built a catapult for a school project. Were you going to use the catapult to demolish the school project? Or was that actually the it was the project. What have you done? Well, playing the Wii. Oh, fantastic. Is that one of your favourite things to do? Mario Kart. Mario. Sorry. I'll get it right. Okay. Well, school holidays is a good time when we get to do the things that we want to do, isn't it? You don't have to go to school. That was all that I wanted to do when I was at school, not go to school. In fact, when I was in high school, I'd been to 5 schools in 5 years. And that was just because we were moving. Some schools shut down. Others, I went from primary school to secondary school. And it was a really, really hard time. And when I went to one school, I got there in the second year of my high school, okay? And I had to learn French. And so I was already a whole year behind on my French. And so my mum and dad, they had a friend who knew French, and they got her to tutor me in French, and I hated it. It was the worst thing in the world. I really, really hated it. And so I would have to go to these tutoring classes to learn French every week. And I can only remember a couple of words. So my teacher every week would start off with, "Comment allez-vous? How are you?" And all I can remember saying is, "Ça va mal," which means, "I am bad." And she would say, "Why?" I'm like, "Because I'm here." The only other one I could remember is, "Comme ci, comme ça," which means, "Eh, neither here nor there." That's all I could remember with my French. The only reason why I talk about that is because when the going gets tough, when we get through some tough times, it reveals your priorities. So for me learning French, my priorities was not French at all. My priorities was TV, going to the beach, hanging out with friends, all that sort of thing. Those were my priorities. French didn't even get on the list. It was not a priority. I would often forget to bring my homework, which I never did anyway. You know, and I'd come up with all these amazing excuses why I didn't do my French, because it just was not a priority. In the scripture that we're talking about this morning, it actually shows us that tough times reveal our priorities. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open up to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. But tough times, they reveal our priorities. Let's have a look. Okay, now what's happening in the story? Last week we had a week off from our Acts series, and we did the happy, saved, and free one. Who remembers those 4 points? Holly, what was number one? No. Stop trying. What was number 2? Give up. Number 3? Let someone else do it. Number 4? Move on. Well done. Are you paying attention, Dean? Everyone actually wave to Dean, say welcome to Ararat this morning, Dean. Good to see you, Dean. Dean Sikorovsa out at Ballarat. And we've also got some other guys from Delacombe who are helping us out today. So welcome. Stick around afterwards. We've got tea and coffee and all that sort of thing. Thanks for coming. Okay. So what's happening in Acts chapter 4 is that Peter and John have healed a man. He was completely paralyzed. He couldn't move his legs. And all of a sudden, this guy is jumping and leaping and praising God. It's an amazing miracle. But then all the religious people get a little bit upset. "Oh, I can't believe that happened." And, you know, they start complaining, and the going gets really tough for the disciples, because they know that just a short while ago, the same people got Jesus crucified. So they knew what was coming. Already they'd been pulled in to question. They were charged, it says. They were charged by the Jewish leaders. And so they knew that tough times were coming. So how did they respond? And that's where we start off here. in verse 23. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Now, who knows that often when something bad happens to you, the first thing you want to do is tell someone else. Isn't that right? I think sometimes we can get in trouble with this sometimes, can't we? Because we just go and we just start gossiping and we start telling the wrong things. But that's not where this stops. It says in verse 24, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and prayed. So the first point is that when the going got tough, the disciples prayed together. My first point originally was going to be that they prayed. But God really spoke to me last night as I was just going over this, and he said, it wasn't just that they prayed, they actually prayed together. They prayed together. So as Christians, we need to remember that not only do we have to talk to each other about how we're going, we actually need to pray together. You see, if we're not praying together, we have no accountability. We have no support. If the only time that we pray is on our own and the going gets tough, pretty soon we're going to stop praying. We're going to find some other excuses of reasons why we're not praying. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I don't have enough time. I've got these responsibilities. All of a sudden, all these things come up and they're more important than our prayer life. And so it's really important that we pray together. And we know that having people to help us stay accountable and all that sort of thing and to support us is really important. When I was in training college, I learned this as well. I used to go running around Prince's Park, and I'd go probably two or three times a week with some of my friends. But if they weren't around, the chances are I wouldn't end up running. Sarah understood this. I'm going to pick on Sarah now. And she asked me if I would come and go running with her. And you gave me permission to share this. And so we'd start running, and I took Sarah for a jog with me, and we'd be jogging and she'd be lagging behind, come on Sarah, we've got to keep going. So I'd be running around her and all this sort of thing, come on Sarah, let's go. And she'd be coming, and she'd be running, James, I hate you. I'm like, whoa, keep running, James, I'm going to kill you. Come on, keep going, Sarah. Oh, she'd be screaming and yelling at me, James, I've got to hit you in the face. And I'm like, whoa, I'm glad you can't catch me. And, you know, and all the while, now that I think about it, what's it going to be like in, 6 months' time or whatever when she's giving birth, hey? Look out, I'm going to steer clear. If jogging around Prince's Park was bad. Okay, but... But the point is that we need that accountability to keep going strong, otherwise we give up, don't we? It's like that in anything that we do. If we don't have people around us to keep us accountable, to support us and to help push us further, we're going to give up. And so we need to pray together. And if you're struggling with prayer, what I really feel like God is saying this morning is find someone to pray with. Pray with people. When the going gets tough, pray together. Okay. The second bit that really stuck out to me about these two disciples is what they actually prayed. You see, if these guys were ganging up on me and I thought, oh man, they're about to crucify me and all that sort of thing, the going is about to get really, really tough, I'm going to start praying for the people that are hurting me. I'm like, God, do something about them, you know, change their hearts, or, you know, do something about it. You know, I'd be praying about that. But these disciples, they didn't pray like that. They actually said, here we go, it says in verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats. That's all they said about that. Look at their threats. And grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Isn't that an amazing prayer? They didn't pray that their tough times would go away. They didn't pray that. They prayed that God would give them the boldness and the strength to get through those tough times. Not only that, but they prayed that God would continue to perform signs and wonders. So they're saying, God, we're going, no matter what is going to happen, We are going to hold true to what you have called us to do. Our priorities will not change, even though the going is getting tough. Even though people are ganging up on us, we will not compromise. We will not back down. We are going to push in even harder. In fact, God, while we're at it, give us more boldness so we can be stronger believers. Perform more miracles. You know, I can sort of understand this if you've been going through a tough time. Give me more boldness. But these guys, they just found a guy on the side of the road who was paralyzed and he jumped back up. I thought, wow, surely you've got boldness to be able to do that. But they're saying, no, Lord, we need more boldness. We, you know, if the going's getting tough, we're going to be even more. You thought I was bad before or good before. I'm going to be bigger and better now. I'm going to push through this. You see, they remembered their priorities. They remembered what they were called to do. And what they were called to do was way more important than the trouble that they were about to go through. Way, way, way more important. You know, around Easter time, I'm sure many of you would have heard that one of mine and Sarah's session mates from training college, he'd only been out of training college for a couple of months, in his early 30s, he died and left his wife behind. But did you know, on the Saturday of Easter, so I think they found out on the Thursday, and on the Saturday, she sent us all a message on Facebook, I believe. And that message could very easily have said, guys, tomorrow is Easter, it's going to be really hard for me. Can you help me? You know, can you pray for me? Can you pray for comfort or something like that for me? But she didn't. She sent a very different message. She said, tomorrow is Easter Sunday. You know, the day when we remember the resurrection. She said, don't hold back. Preach the gospel. Can you imagine that? One of the toughest times in her life, when her husband has just died, completely out of the blue, he's just died. And what does she say? Preach the gospel. That's incredible, you know. So often when stuff starts to happen to us, some of the most important things drop off. Our priorities begin to rearrange themselves. But for this lady, she said, no, the gospel is still the number one priority. It's incredible. Thirdly, this is a really awesome point, and this comes in verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I think it's amazing that these guys had to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Two or three chapters ago was Pentecost, when they saw tongues of fire on them and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But here, just a short time later, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Often we can think that, you know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16 years old, or when I was 32, or this many years ago, or whatever like that. We think as if it's just some one-off opportunity, one-off experience when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But time and time again throughout the book of Acts, we see that we need to be filled again. Again and again and again. We need to be filled. Sort of like a jug that has a couple of holes in the bottom of it, and you fill up the jug, you fill it up with water, and over time it sort of leaks, you know. I think it's sort of like that, but I don't want to get caught up thinking that Holy Spirit is like a quantity. It's not like that, but the scripture just tells us that we need to be constantly filled. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he said, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. To get drunk on wine, you need to keep drinking, don't you? And after a little time, you know, you won't be as full of wine as what you were before, so you need to keep drinking if you want to stay drunk. Same sort of idea Paul is saying to us. Constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's have a look at the two different types of people that we can be. Firstly, we can be like the apostles. We can be people who, when the going gets tough, we pray together. We can remember our priorities. We can pray that God would give us boldness and perform miracles so that we can get through life and so that we can win the world for Jesus. And we can be refilled with the Holy Spirit. That's what they were like. That's the model for us. But unfortunately, I think there's too many of us who are the opposite. When the going gets tough, maybe we start disengaging from different things. We stop going to cell group. We stop going to prayer meeting. We stop coming to church. We stop hanging out with a certain group of friends. Our priorities all of a sudden look very, very different, don't they? When the going gets tough, what do we do? What happens to your priorities? What happens to the vision to see 100 disciples? Or even just from the Bible, go and make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel. No, these are just very, very simple things, aren't they? But so often when the going gets tough, our priorities begin to change. And if we're not praying that God will give us strength to get through it, well, then we're probably not filled with the Holy Spirit. So on the one hand, we have disciples who are strong, who are taking on the challenges, they're seeing the challenges, and they're asking God to empower them to win the world for Jesus. They are determined, and they are strong, and they are uncompromising. On the other hand, you have people who are going through the tough times. The tough times are beating them up. They're disengaging from people, disengaging from prayer. Their priorities are getting all mixed up, and they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I just invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. And I want you to ask yourself, which one am I? Don't worry about the people next to you, or don't allow excuses, or just don't allow yourself to justify the position that you're in. But which one are you? Are you like the disciples that when the tough times come, you go, okay, well, I'm gonna get even stronger now. This is just an opportunity for God to do something. Or are you one of the ones that are disengaging from people and from prayer, from God, from your priorities? Which one are you? Jesus, we thank you so much that you are always with us. Jesus, we thank you that when the tough times come, you don't just want to get rid of the tough times, but you want to give us strength so that we can get through the tough times. Lord, I pray for every person here this morning that you would just reveal to us which sort of person we are. What is our number one priority? What are we actually all about? Is it about ourselves, or is it about the salvation of the world? Help us adjust our priorities this morning. Help us to pray together. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, we ask.